Picture a wooden fortress, built stronger than any vessel before it, groaning in agony as invisible forces tear it apart. The Endurance wasn't just crushed, she was slowly tortured by the Antarctic pack ice, her reinforced hulls screaming like a dying animal as pressure waves rolled through the frozen sea. This was October 1915, and 28 men watched their only link to civilization succumb to forces beyond human comprehension. What followed wasn't just a survival story. It became the gold standard for leadership under impossible odds, studied in boardrooms and military academies worldwide. The tale raises a haunting question. What separates those who endure from those who surrender when hope itself seems frozen solid? Norwegian shipbuilder Christian Jacobsen crafted the Endurance as an unsinkable marvel. 4-foot-thick oak bow timbers, double-reinforced frame, and copper coins under each mast for luck. Yet even this legendary vessel from Norway's Framnes shipyard became an almond trapped in chocolate, frozen solid in the Weddell Sea pack ice on January 24, 1915. For months, the crew maintained remarkable spirits, celebrating Christmas, hunting seals, and stockpiling 5,000 pounds of meat. But beneath this normalcy, ice tightened its grip. When pressure arrived in October, it transformed the frozen sea into churning chaos. The crew converted a cargo hold into the Ritz, a 35 by 25 foot space with partitioned cubicles that became their cozy center of civilization. While temperatures plummeted to 17 below zero, men gambled with discovered dice, performed theatrical productions, and laughed at scandalous costumes. They were castaways creating their own entertainment, refusing to let despair take root. The Antarctic delivered unexpected beauty amid brutality. Ice showers created fairylands of sparkling crystals. Auroras shimmered across starlit skies. Whales surfaced, seals lounged on ice floes, birds wheeled overhead. Nature's cruel joke, breathtaking beauty surrounding you while slowly trying to kill you. Survival demanded brutal practicality. 15 dogs died from intestinal worms. The remaining vicious huskies required firm handling. One crew member stunned aggressive dogs with a mittened uppercut. Men who previously wouldn't touch blubber now craved it, their bodies demanding calories. They suffered chronic constipation from their meat diet and used ice as toilet paper. Their constantly watering eyes created icicles on their noses that left sores when broken off. Yet ship's surgeon Macklin noted with remarkable optimism, "Really, this sort of life has its attractions. No worries, no trains, no letters to answer, no collars to wear. When your world shrinks to a frozen flow, even misery can feel like freedom." Ernest Shackleton managed extreme stress through psychological precision. He strategically assigned tent placements to minimize friction, flattering photographer Frank Hurley with meeting invitations, placing carpenter McNaish under Frank Wilde's supervision, and personally housing the irritable Hudson and academic James. When McNaish refused to march, citing contract termination after the ship sank, Shackleton didn't rage. He calmly cited the clause covering duties on board, in the boats, or on shore, then read the articles aloud. Calculated theater establishing authority without humiliation. Shackleton's optimism occasionally became a liability. He refused to collect additional seal meat, insisting they had enough. Yet he handled killing the dogs compassionately, understanding the men's bonds with them. When their march across ice failed after 9 miles, he accepted reality and pivoted to surviving until drift carried them to open water. Shackleton practiced agile leadership, constantly adapting while maintaining unwavering determination, carrying full responsibility while being addressed simply as boss. After their failed ice march, the men established Patience Camp on a flat floe, drifting for nearly 4 months in cramped tents. Food became their obsession. Men developed what James called aminomania, wind madness, from obsessively discussing wind direction and meals they'd eaten or imagined. By mid-February, dwindling blubber forced Shackleton to reduce rations to one hot drink daily. Then salvation arrived. Thousands of Adélie penguins appeared during their northern migration. The men slaughtered nearly 600 birds over several days. These friendly, tobogganing creatures they'd found so amusing became their lifeline. As February ended, they felt the unmistakable ocean swell, a gentle rise every 18 seconds. While most celebrated this sign of open sea, Shackleton alone recognized the danger. If swells increased while pack remained closed, the ice would grind to bits, leaving them nowhere to camp. The kind of insight separating leaders from followers, seeing catastrophe in what others celebrate. Food shortages intensified. They used their last flour for dog pemmican bannocks, which men nibbled for over an hour to make 1 ounce portions last. When men were caught stealing, Shackleton ordered all remaining supplies placed outside his tent. Finally, on April 9, 1916, after their floe had broken into pieces too small for safe camping, Shackleton gave the order, "Launch the boats." The escape began chaotically. Oarsmen struggled after months of inactivity while ice fouled their oars. Within 15 minutes, Patience Camp vanished as three boats pushed northwest through opening pack. The journey redefined endurance. Shackleton changed destinations repeatedly as currents pushed them off course. First Clarence Island, then King George Island, then Hope Bay, finally Elephant Island. The men endured three sleepless nights in open boats at 8 below zero. Breaking seas froze instantly, covering boats with ice. Men huddled under torn tent cloths, feet soaking in freezing water, wiggling toes constantly. Comfort meant freezing. Thirst became unbearable. Surrounded by undrinkable water, they chewed raw seal meat for blood. By day three, severe frostbite appeared. Hudson's hands swelled painfully after 72 hours at the tiller. In rare compassion, orderlies massaged Greenstreet's frostbitten feet against his bare chest, humanity emerging through frozen self-preservation. After 80 sleepless hours fighting an offshore current, they reached Elephant Island on April 14, a desolate place no human had ever landed, but their only hope. Shackleton realized their sole chance, sailing 800 miles across the Drake Passage to South Georgia's whaling stations in a 22-foot open boat. Insanity becomes rationality when all alternatives mean death. McNeish, the querulous carpenter, proved invaluable preparing the James Caird. He raised the sides and created a makeshift deck waterproofed with seal blood and oil. Shackleton selected five men: Worsley for navigation, Crean for strength, McNeish for carpentry, McCarthy for seamanship, and Vincent despite injury. On April 24, 1916, they launched into hell. For 15 days, they battled mountainous waves, hurricane winds, and freezing temperatures. Worsley performed navigational miracles, taking sun sightings while thrown about the pitching boat. Ice formed constantly, requiring regular chipping to prevent capsizing. They chipped ice off themselves to avoid sinking while simultaneously fighting hypothermia. On May 8, they spotted South Georgia's coast, but hurricanes prevented landing near whaling stations. Landing on the uninhabited south coast forced Shackleton to attempt what had never been done, crossing the unmapped interior. With Worsley and Crean, he traversed glaciers and scaled ridges with just 50 feet of rope and a carpenter's adze. At one impossible descent, they simply sat and slid 900 feet in minutes, a desperate gamble that miraculously succeeded. After 36 hours of continuous hiking, they staggered into Stromness Whaling Station, filthy and unrecognizable. When Shackleton identified himself, the manager simply said, "Come in." That evening, four veteran Norwegian captains with 40 years of Antarctic experience approached to shake hands with the men who'd navigated an open boat through the Drake Passage. Every man stood, a tribute perhaps exceeding all formal honors that would follow. Shackleton's return to civilization began a frustrating 3-month ordeal as pack ice blocked every approach to Elephant Island. Three rescue attempts failed. The stranded men survived under Wilde's leadership in the Snuggery, two overturned boats creating crude shelter. They ate seal and penguin, rationing their last biscuits. Each day, Wilde announced, "Roll up your bags, boys, the boss may come today," a statement growing increasingly hollow as weeks stretched into months. Young Blackborough's frostbitten feet developed gangrene, forcing an amputation by blubber lamp with minimal anesthetic. When Shackleton finally secured the Chilean tug Yelcho on August 30, 1916, 128 days after departing, the castaways had abandoned hope. Shackleton called out, "Are you all well?" They replied, "All well." After nearly 2 years of unimaginable hardship, every single member survived. The legacy endures because the expedition succeeded where it mattered most, not in crossing Antarctica, but in preserving human life. When a British team finally crossed South Georgia in 1955 with proper equipment, their leader Duncan Carse wrote, "I do not know how they did it, except that they had to." That's the essence of endurance, doing the impossible because the alternative is unthinkable.